This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Today, would you please take your Bibles and open them to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind blows where it blows and wills, and thou hearest the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This is God's word.
If you'd like to open up to John chapter 3, we're going to look at this interaction between the Lord Jesus and Nicodemus. All of us know the story very well, particularly with John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or John 3:3, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But for this message, I'd like to focus on verse 8, which says, The wind blows where it wishes, you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. When I was a boy, I've shared this story many years ago, so you might remember it. When I was a boy, we lived in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and we lived in this apartment building. It was four apartments in the house, two on top, two on the bottom. We lived in one of the upper ones. And there was a deck that led out the back door onto a platform deck that, you know, you could come out. And there was one evening that it was stormy outside, very stormy. And it was the kind of storm where there was a lot of wind. And my mother allowed my brother David to step out on that deck to see the storm in the sky, so that he could watch the lightning and the wind that was. It was just, you know, very interesting to some, and others get frightened by it. But at the time, my brother was interested in it. And so my mom had the back door propped open with a cinder block so she could check out what's going on. And my brother was standing out on the deck and watching this storm. And the wind was blowing and the lightning was flashing. And I, being the younger brother and 3 years younger and just more nervous, I wanted my brother to come inside because I was afraid. He was out in the storm and I wanted him to come inside. And so what I did is I walked out on the deck while he stood on the edge of the deck just staring in the sky. I walked out on the deck behind him and I took his arm and I tugged on his arm to bring him inside. And he, when he felt the tug, resisted because he wanted to watch the storm. And so I tugged and he resisted. And I tugged and he resisted. And it kind of turned into a game. And so we were kind of playing in this storm with wind. I don't think it was raining. It was just windy and lightning and crackling of thunder. And I would pull and he would resist and I would pull. Well, I was gaining. And we were just all at it on the floor, just wrestling, and I was pulling and pulling on him, and I was gaining a little bit at a time and gaining a little bit at a time, and I managed to get in the house. And there I am, we're pulling, and I'm pulling on him, and he's kind of being dragged on the deck while he's resisting, and I pull on him, and I get his body into the house, and his head is coming into the house, and just as his head is on the threshold of that opening, a gust of wind comes, pushes that door with a cinder block, and slams it on his head, in between the door frame and his head. Blood everywhere. Panicked. Shock. Frightening. My mom calls the ambulance. He's gone. I don't know what's going on. The neighbor comes and watches me. Thankfully, he survived. The wind blows where it wishes. You cannot hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes. You can hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from. You see, wind, you cannot predict when a gust of wind is going to come and close a door with a cinder block propped in front of it. Yes, there are people who predict the weather patterns and whatnot, but you cannot predict when that gust of wind will come and knock over that tree in your yard. You cannot predict when you wake up and come outside, there's going to be a gentle breeze across your face. The wind is unpredictable. The wind blows where it wishes. The question is, can we use the wind to our advantage? Is there such a thing as wind blowing that you can set your sails and allow that wind to bring you to your desired destination? You see, Nicodemus was in the midst of a windstorm that was going on in his day. There was wind blowing all around, but Nicodemus was not setting his sail. Nicodemus wasn't taking advantage of the wind that was at work in his life. He was not setting the sails. You see, in verse 1 there was a man by the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. He's a religious man. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God." He knew that something was going on. He knew that there was a wind blowing. He said, "We know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus doesn't even address what he just said. Because Jesus is not interested in the small talk. Jesus wants to get right to the point. Because there's a wind blowing. And he looked at Nicodemus and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You need to know this, Nicodemus. Unless you repent of your sins and put your faith in me, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't care how religious you are. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He's missing the wind. He's missing out. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he was so missing the point. He was so missing the opportunity. The fact that the very Messiah that all the Old Testament pointed to was standing before him and talking to him, and he was missing it. He said, How can a man go inside of a mother's womb and be born again? I don't get it. And Jesus reiterated, "Listen to me, you're missing this. Listen, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's a windstorm. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." When God moves, you'll see it. You won't understand it, but you'll know it. Don't miss it. And Nicodemus in verse 9 answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus looked at him and said, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? If anybody should have understood the storm at work in Jesus' day, it would have been Nicodemus who went to the seminary to learn about what the Old Testament teaches and how to obey it and what it all means and to the dot, and he understood, but he was missing the work of God before his very eyes. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to be in tune to God at work. It just goes to show that you can have all the credentials at the end of your name and you can stand in the pulpit and deliver the Word of God, but unless the Spirit of God is at work, it seems to be that the mind is dull and unable to accurately declare what God has to say. Amen. The wind blows where it wishes, and Nicodemus was missing it. And we must be aware of the way God is moving in our lives so we don't miss it. We don't want to be wrapped up in our own idea of following God. We want to be in tune to His way for us to follow Him. Because He has a direction He wants to go in, and we have to set sail by faith. And He's going to take us places. Amen? He's going to take us places when we set sail for the way God is moving. Verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes. That means God's movement of where the Spirit is active is His free choice. He invites us to participate. He invites us to seek Him, but we cannot manipulate God. We cannot control God. He moves where He wishes. The Spirit of God works in ways that we cannot see or understand. In fact, it's often our negligence of seeking Him in prayer that leads to His movement elsewhere. The Holy Spirit, by the power of God, will come upon a person, will come upon a nation, will come upon a community, and move in a way, and we won't understand it. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we think that we can come up with some sort of a system that if we follow A, B, and C and do these right things and have all the pieces put together, that He's going to do exactly what we want Him to do. We need to seek the face of God and how He wants to see Him move. This was the case in the Bible when Paul was going throughout the area and he was preaching the gospel to the people who should have received it. They were the Jews. They should have received it. And many of them did. The first disciples were Jews. But he would go to a place and he'd go to the synagogue and the people of the synagogue would reject Paul's message of Christ the Messiah. So he'd say, the wind is blowing, it's shaking the dust off my feet, and I am now going to the Gentiles. And that's the way God's Spirit moves often. When a people harden their hearts and they are obstinate against God, the wind moves. Jesus came into a town and He wanted to perform miracles. This is a mind-boggling experience. It says that He could not perform miracles because of their lack of faith. And Jesus in His humanness submitted to that and He stepped back and He went elsewhere. The wind blows where it wishes. We need to be in tune. We need to be on our knees, on our faces before our Heavenly Father to know where He's moving, why He's moving, and where He wants us to go. Amen? Are you in tune to the wind of God in your life? Is your life set up so that you have a time when you can sit still and know the direction that the wind is moving? When you spend that time in prayer with God, you'll know that there is a prompting of God to move you. And if you're in tune to your surroundings, you'll know that there is a movement of God to move you somewhere. And He'll show you the opportunities and He'll show you where you need to go if we are in tune. And often we're not, because we're not listening, we're not obeying, we're obstinate, and we're like Nicodemus. And anyone can relate, amen? We need to open ourselves up before our very eyes and see Jesus is with us here. I need to listen. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. It says, you hear the sound of it. You see, this is the key. You cannot see how God is moving. Just like you cannot see the wind. You do not know the mechanics of the omnipotent holy God working in a nation. But you can see its effect. You see, I couldn't see the gust of wind that came and pushed the door, but I saw the door close. And that told me something just happened. When a gust of wind knocks over a tree, you can't see the gust of wind, but you see the tree fall down. You say, a gust of wind just came and knocked that tree down. Because I saw the tree fall down. And Jesus is saying, the wind blows where it wishes. You cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, but you hear the sound of it. You hear the sound of it. And you and I need to have our eyes open to see the way God is moving through the effect. You see, when you became a Christian, you know this. This is your own experience. This is nothing novel. When you became a Christian, you don't know how God did something inside of you. You can't explain it. You can't make sense of God's working in your heart, and all of a sudden you love Him when at one point you hated Him. All of a sudden you want to follow Him, though at one point you didn't. You can't explain that, but you know it happened. Why? Because now you love Him. And now you want to read His Word. Before I was a Christian, I went to church for a number of years because I thought it was nice. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. But if you sat me down and looked at my heart and hearts and asked me if I truly loved God, not really. I loved my sin that I would engage in Sunday afternoon through Saturday evening. I loved that. That was pretty interesting. But then something happened June 14, 2010, and you don't need to know the day, but I do. God blessed it with me, and something changed, and the next day I wanted to read my Bible, and I wanted to pray, and I don't know how it happened, but God said it, I believe it. That settles it, amen? And the next day I loved God, and I love Him still, and I'm a work in progress, but the love is there. He got a hold of me. I hear the sound of it. Do you hear the sound of it in your life? Do you know that the Spirit of God is working in you to give you His heart, to give you His desires, to give you His purpose for your life? Do you hear it? Or do you need to open up your ears and remove the distractions out of your life so you can come to that place where you know the wind is blowing through you and you've set sail by faith? What is it going to take to hear the sound that you cherish in your life? One of the books I'm reading right now is on the Welsh Revival that happened in, I believe, the early 20th century. The Welsh Revival in South Wales. This young man, I believe he was early 20s, Evan Roberts, just God got a hold of him. God just got a hold of this young man, and he would spend time in prayer just by himself praying and praying and asking God to move. And something got a hold of him where he realized he needs to share the gospel with his classmates. And so he asked a couple of his classmates if they would stay in the school. And he just got up there and he told them about Christ. And God got a hold of them. And suddenly, in no time, in some inexplicable way, you read the book and the reporters, they don't know. They can't explain it. But suddenly, God got a hold of South Wales and moved. And all of a sudden, men who are working out in the fields are coming to church. And people are repenting of their sins. And God is moving. And they can't explain it. And you can't see the wind, but you hear the sound of it. You want to know why? Because all of a sudden the churches are full. People are working and they're singing hymns. The taverns are closing and the society is actually increasing. The school's starting as they try to improve people's lives. And you hear the sound of it when all of a sudden the work is stopping. Do you know why? Because the men who used the horses and mules to carry the carts in the fields, all of a sudden the horses and mules aren't going anymore. Do you know why? because they only obeyed the commands of the cuss words of the men that were telling them to go. And God got a hold of these men. They're not going to use that filthy language. Well, the mules don't know what to do now, because they're so used to hearing the cuss word commands, and now they're not using the cuss word commands, so they're not moving, they're not working, and they don't know what to do. Praise the Lord! You heard the sound of it. God moved, and they'd have these meetings come together several times a day sometimes, and they'd come out in a field to have a platform, and there was no system of organization, no one who planned it 3 weeks in advance and had the speakers lined up like the conference I went to, nothing wrong with that, but they would just get together and they would sing hymns, and when somebody got up and preached, they preached, and people were weeping and they were repenting, and God was on the move because they set sail. Nicodemus, set sail, said Jesus. The wind is blowing. You should know this. Amen? Are we setting sail? The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. Cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Oh, when somebody is born again, when they come to Christ, it is a gust of wind to carry them along in God's will. The wind is blowing today, brothers and sisters. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't know really what's going on. But I believe deep down inside my soul something is happening in our culture. I truly believe that God is on the move. And I truly believe that if we're going to be like Nicodemus, we're going to miss it. I truly believe if we're going to be wrapped up in our idea of what it means to follow God, we're going to miss it. But if we can humble ourselves and set our face like flint toward Jerusalem and open up the wings of faith, God's wind will carry us along and we will soar on wings like eagles. Amen. But we need to be open to that. That's one thing I saw at this conference. They were talking about that there is a movement among young people in an amazing way. People were talking about how they have so many young people interested now and asking questions about Christianity, about Jesus. There's a movement there, and many churches aren't stepping up to meet the need. They talked about how Gen Z is the most religiously interested generation. The millennial generation, my generation, we're a lost cause. We're a lost cause, but God can move, amen? He can have mercy on my generation. But Gen Z, God is doing something. They are interested. They're asking questions. They're starving for truth. They're hungry for meaning. There was a pastor there. He said, we've been having these men come to the church. And you know what's going on is that they've been hearing this leftist, ungodly agenda, and God has allowed them to turn away from it, thankfully, through these big name people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, and they're just young men in particular, they're just fed up with this leftist nonsense that hates them because they're white men. And so they're the problem. And so they're turning away from this ungodly agenda and they're turning to these guys as icons. And what these pastors were saying is that churches need to step up and say, that's good that you're recognizing that this is evil, but I want to show you what the real way is, the way of truth. God is moving among young men, apparently. And when I say young men, I'm not including myself. Everybody listen. You all call me a young man, okay? Stop it. I'm ready to graduate, okay? I'm ready to be a man, period. It's okay now. I'm talking about like, you know, 20s and there. I was working yesterday with my nephew Simeon, okay, working on a project together, and he was running circles around me, okay? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the glory of young men is their strength, and the crown of the old is their gray hair. And my strength is sapped, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see a lot of gray, so tell me what that means, okay? I'm a man now. I'm okay with that. All right, I understand I may be younger than you, so in that sense I'm a young man, but ultimately I'm a man, okay? There's young men here, they're young, and God is moving among that generation. God is moving among that generation. Unless the testimonies I'm hearing here and the things I'm seeing are all lies, God is moving, and we need to be aware of that. And I'm not saying that we all of a sudden tomorrow have to start a ministry to young conservative men in our culture, though I'm not against it, but I'm saying God is moving. Now the question is, how are we going to be involved? And there are obstacles. It's not like everything is green pastures, brothers and sisters. There was one speaker there. His name is Joshua Broom. He was a former porn star. His name used to be Rocco Reed. He was in the adult industry. In fact, he moved up the ladder so far that he won the top award you can win as an adult performer. And he thought when he reached that point and he got that award that he would be happy and satisfied. He got that award and he was totally empty, totally depressed, and thought about killing himself. But God got a hold of him. Amen. He repented of that. He turned away from that. And now he's starting an organization to help people break the addictions, because there's a problem out there since COVID. Porn use is up 400%. 80% of people consider it a problem, and guess what? 7% of churches are addressing it. So we have obstacles. We have, and who's going to be the most susceptible to that kind of a thing? Young men. So there's Satan and God. There's things going on. You understand? Are you with me? The problem is that the wind is blowing and the church needs to set sails. And whether it's to this demographic, that demographic, whether it's Gen Z, baby, boomers, young, single, men or older, widowed women, it doesn't matter. God is going to move you to minister to someone, to bring the gospel to someone, to encourage someone, and set our sails and let God move. Amen? Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 16, and you'll see this laid out for us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, the disciples are going around, spread the gospel, and in verse 6 it says, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They wanted to go there and minister there, and the Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there. So the sails are set, the wind turned, and so they turn with it. And in verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. You see, there was a change of course again. The Holy Spirit moved them in a different direction. And in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's where God wanted them to go. That's where God wanted them to minister to. And so God directed their course. Why? Because their sails were set. Amen. And I don't know where God's going to lead you, but we need to have our sails set every day. And I hear testimonies of what the Lord is doing in your life, and I know your sails are set and mine are too, but we have to be aware, open, interested in how God is going to work. See, the last thing I want to do, the last thing you want to do is be like Nicodemus, where we have everything right in our head, but it's all wrong in the course of life we're taking. Amen? We want to have the Spirit of God move us in the course that He has for us so that we're aware of what He's doing. And we don't want to be a people that are just a Sunday show up. We want to be people who are a Monday missionary, a Tuesday testimony, a Wednesday witness, Thursday thriver, a Friday fruit bearer, a Saturday servant of the living God. Amen. So where's He leading you tomorrow? Where's your course? How will you set sails this week? The wind blows where it wishes. Where's He going to lead you? Have you set sails? Or are you stuck in one spot, refusing to open up to God leading you somewhere? Will you seek Him in prayer on your knees? Ask God, you know what, Lord, I've been setting my own course in life. I've been making my own decisions. I'm going to open up to You now. I'm going to open up to You now and let You lead me and open Your Word and read what You have for me and help me. Show me where You want me to go, who You want me to minister to. There's so much opportunity. It's unreal. It's unreal. Oh, the harvest is ripe. but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends out laborers. Amen. Nicodemus thankfully set sail. Eventually, he caught on and God led him to stand up against his religious peers who were looking down on the Lord. And eventually God led him to stand up and help Joseph of Arimathea take down the dead body of Jesus and bury him. And he became a faithful follower of Christ where he was. And God wants to make you a faithful follower of Christ where you are. Amen? Let's come before Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the encouraging word. God is not dead. You are alive and moving. And I pray, Father, that we as individuals would open up to You. There might be someone here this morning who needed this message because they realize they've been in stationary, they've been tied to a dock and port, looking at the journey ahead that You have for them. Lord God, I pray by faith they would repent of whatever's holding them back. They would open up by faith to You and just seek You, dear God, about where You're going to lead them, to bring Your gospel to those who need it, to use their gifts to serve those who are in need, and to see Jesus be glorified in their lives, in their families, in their workplaces, in their churches, in their communities, dear God, move in the midst of the people. I thank You so much, Father God, for Your glory, Your gospel, which is the power of God to salvation. If anyone here this morning realizes that they have not been born again, I pray that they would turn from their sin. They would receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Dear God, grab a hold of them that they may become born again and give their lives to You, Lord God. What do we need? What do we need, Lord? Show us as we go forth from here with Your wind carrying us along on wings like eagles. In Jesus' name, all God's people say together, Amen.